Accession number 9955, reel number 11.
Mr. Calvert, reel 11. You were telling me that when you left Poppering you had to empty your water bottles. How did the men react to that?
They were very annoyed, because it was a warm day when we were marching, and with full equipment, and we knew we wouldn't get anything while stopping over about midday, and then it would be stew in the field kitchens, which was cooking as you were marching, and there might be the battalion water cart or two, I forget how many there were, and we might then be able to get some water from there. So we had to make the best of it.
How did what was it very difficult? Can you remember that march? Did it cause you problems?
No, we did it all right. Then we entrained at some village. I forget where it was. Name of the village, I forgot it. There's so many villages I couldn't recall them. I went by train towards the, I think it was a place further down the Somme area, where we went for training.
What sort of training was this? Was it special training?
Yes, feet training and attack, and bringing us up to date with the latest German methods of defence. And
so what was this special attack training? What new techniques were they telling you?
Well, he was going to go over the top in fighting order. That was just ammunition pouches, a little haversack here, no greatcoat, and go over as light as possible and be able to move a lot quicker by getting down and up, you know, in shallows and all that, and carrying bombs and a spare shovel between you and anything like a few sandbags as well, in case you needed them, and extra food so that you, if you were cut off, you could resist a lot longer. It was different training altogether from the one I'd received in 1915.
Were the actual techniques of attacking different?
Yes, the attack was not in the artillery formation. That was done away with completely. It was in one long line. And the first line had to get to the objective. It didn't matter how many Germans left you behind you, or any of your pals dropped down, you hadn't to stop. Keep going, get your objective. And you had a mopping up party who dealt with any Germans and started looking after the wounded. And then when they got near enough, would help to reinforce the objective you've taken.
Were the mopping up party also in a long line, or were they differently organised?
They were in a long line. And
so they were in a line? They
see a yard or two between, so they'd be able to keep a sea in shallows. And if we had time and a chap dropped down by, he could pick his rifle up and stick his bayonet by his side as a sign that there was someone there wanted attention. And that was one of the signals which we tried to carry out.
Anything else they teach you in this special training?
Well, the training was this as well. If you get isolated, which was a German way of doing it to you, was to allow you to pass through. They'd move the flanks, allow you to go through, then that closed behind you, so you had Germans here and Germans there, and you were cut off. They might try and do it with a battalion or a company, or even a small number. And he was told not to fire on them unless they came too close, or you were forced to, not to give away your position, just stop, be like a rabbit, take cover. and leave them to do the sorting out where they were, and eventually you find that they weren't sure whether they'd got you in there or where you were, and you had a better feel of fire on them, and you could probably, when they were coming looking for you, you had a better feel of fire, and couldn't, and they didn't know where you were. Because if they knew where you were, of course, they'd soon get some heavier stuff onto you. Get some bombers going, and Stokes, what I call the Stokes trench mortar, I don't know, that some trench mortars of some sort.
Were you trained in bombs at all? Now?
Yes. Yes, I'd had the training of throwing the bomb, and we used to put detonators in his own bombs. Used to have the brought up, used to sit so many yards between you. And you had a big container like that with detonators in. You used to put it at one side and gingerly get one out and put it in and then screw the top on, and then it was primed when you'd put them gingerly back in the box.
When would you do that? When you got to the line?
No, before. No, in a safe area where there were no chance of anything, where it was safe. And
the bombing, it seems to be becoming more important now. I know you'd had training when you first got to France, but did you get more training into bombing techniques or clearing trench techniques, or was that all in the future?
It was gradually being built up, because he brought out, the German had that, what we called the potato masher. And actually they were a more useful bomb than the Mills, because you could throw them a lot further. And you just to pull a thing like that and it's been over, and they were full of glass. Anything at all. Any rubbish, like bits of metal, anything to fill it. And they cause nasty cuts. A fella might have 30, 40 little cuts all over him. And of course he had to go and, even if he felt he could stop, he'd have to go and get an injection against lockjaw, into the nature of the soil. No, they could throw them a lot farther than ours. Our bombs were deadly. Man, if you threw a bomb in a trench with half a dozen Germans, you could bet your life there wouldn't many survive out of it.
Would you think that the potato mashers weren't as deadly then?
No, they weren't.
It was more injuries they caused.
It was injuries and concussion. They probably deafened you for a time.
So you were getting more bombing training and more concentration on bombing?
Yes.
Where you had this training, was it a mock-up battlefield, or was it a battlefield with tapes representing German trenches, or how was the training organised?
It was done in areas, training areas. I think it was a place called Salsley. Later on, I think that was before we went into action. Mind you, was going in the line, on and off, on the Somme front. Troneswood, Devilswood, or any amount of players.
I really mean the training you had before you went in on the Somme.
I think it was a place called Salsley.
And did you think
I was trained there for sniping? I'll tell you about that later on.
That comes later after you got into the. I'll come to that then. So how long did this training go on before you were put into the line?
About 14 days.
So would it still be in July, just at the end of July, when you went into the Somme?
July, yes, it was. End of July.
And where were you sent into the trenches at?
Well, I can't recall. We seemed to be just going in where a division had been in. We'd go in and relieve them for a battalion. We'd go in and relieve another battalion of the line for 2 or 3 days. And then we'd be brought out. We were thrown that way, you see. We started at one end of the Somme battlefield until we finish further down south, Fleurs, Les Buffs. It was into any amount of places on the Somme front, which I'll tell you about later when I actually went in them. But this training at Salsley was very thorough.
How do you spell Salsley?
I think Saltley.
As in the town in England.
I think it was spelt that way. I think that was the name I gave it, Salsley.
So when you went into the line, you didn't go into any one settled place. You were in and
out. No, in and out.
Are there anything in particular that happened to you during this phase, or anything you noticed about the Somme battlefield that was different from Ypres? Because the Battle of the Somme was on there.
Well, there were shattered trenches generally. There were numerous dead all over the place, couldn't be moved. There were tremendous shell holes. I mean, heavy artillery had been used there. There were little defence. You had to start building your defence in when you went in to make something like it. Then one trench I went in, there were fresh water running in a tap. Tapped. I've never in my life been in one before like that.
Who'd set that up?
It was a German one. A captured German trench. The Germans had done it. And there was water. You could turn on and get as much water as you want. It was from a spring somewhere. It was never poisonous or anything. It was past as if it was heaven. Water as much as you want. But it was spoilt by one thing. The second day we were in, trench motor batteries people came up.
British?
Yes. Fired about a dozen Stokes motors and off, like, as far as they could. And we got the shell in. That's why they were not popular. Because as soon as you sent them over to the Germans, they retaliated. And it was not far in front of the trench. There was a big crater. There'd been a mine blown there as well. And they had the far side, you see, and they had a good target in the trench mortar people. You couldn't miss it, a great big hole, they were just on the ground it. I don't think they were as cursed as much anywhere as they were that day, because it upset the whole company.
That was a fairly common thing, dislike of the
it was, yes.
Trench mortar companies. All
you see, they never stopped in the trench, they went well back. And they trained themselves, some of them, they could get about, I think, they could, I've heard of them being able to get 10 in before the first one's burst. And then they've got the last one in before the third or fourth has burst. And they pick all their equipment up and they're off like the wind. They don't come in trenches where they can't get out and stop there. They're always in reserve.
Now, this thing you're talking, was this in the Bowman Hamel sector, this particular captured trench and the crater?
Yes, it was Bowman Hamel area. And then
you mentioned you're in a German trench. Was there anything else you noticed about the German trench that was different from ours, besides piped water in this case?
Well, of course, it'd been badly battered. As own artillery had battered them.
Were they about the same construction?
Yes, they were the same thing.
What about dugouts?
Well, it was later on when I got into German dugouts.
Okay, we'll come to that later then. This is one of the when you're in this Bowman Hamel section, this is one of the periods when you were just holding the line.
Yes, that was it. We were gradually, I think it was to allow reorganisation. We'd take over a sector for a short period and then move further on.
What did you think about the Somme offensive, if you thought anything at all about it? Did you know you were part of the Battle of the Somme, or to you was it just another day?
Well, we knew it was there'd been a 7 days bombardment of the German trenches, and that there'd been a lot of mines there. In fact, on the way, in one of the areas, I went down a mine, what was being prepared, Australian Tunnelling Company.
Do you know which number?
No, I don't.
And this was in the Somme area?
Somme area, yes.
What exactly were you doing here?
Well, there was a shaft. You went down a shaft, at steps. Then there was a little landing, then you went down another one. Maybe probably 40 or 50 feet below the surface. And they were digging. There were two of them at the face. They let us look, but they said, no questions, no movement, no noise. Because the Germans weren't far off and they were frightened. They had listening a device and they'd counter mine and blow it up. So what we had to do was to fill sandbags on the second where they were digging it out. It was being piled up and then put into sandbags, and then there was a old windlass sort of thing, pull the full bags up and then take them to stack them out at the top, and then when it was dark carried them away up 400 or 500 yards away to think the German believe, you know, that was the mining part. But we were down there, I think, with 2 days.
How big was the tunnel? Can you describe the actual...
Yes, you could just stand up in it. You could just pass through.
And how wide?
Oh, I should say about 4 feet.
So it'd be about 6 foot by 5 feet?
Yes, you could stand up in it, and it was all chalk.
So there was no need for propping?
No, it seemed to be... it did hold itself up, more or less. There were places where they had propped. That was where they'd gone down. Over the, but it was a very interesting. It's the first time I'd ever been down anything like. I've heard of them, but I got down this
one. How was it lit?
Lamp, like miner's lamp type of thing. Candles. They had a light in the helmet, like a miner's helmet. They were proper miners, I think, from Australia. They were a tunnelling company, experts at it. They knew how to do it, and they wouldn't have anybody near at face when they were working. You couldn't get near, they wouldn't have you. There was a chap hanging about to keep us. It was because of the danger of countermining.
How many of you would be helping them on this?
About 6 of us.
And how long were you doing that for?
All day.
How many... days.
We 2 days, just 2 days, I think we did it.
Do you know where exactly this mine was? Can you put a...
No, I never got to know where it was. There were a lot of areas I went on there, and I never recall the names of them. Only the outstanding ones, like Trones Wood, Devil's Wood, High Wood.
What do you remember about those places? Taking them in turn, Trones Wood, for instance.
They were a death trap.
You were holding the line there, were you?
It had been taken and we were at the edge of the wood. We were shelling it all the time. They had to take us away because from that trench holding and take us to another part of the line. He turned all his 5.9s, I call them, onto that area, Trones Wood. He thought it were being filled with troops. It wasn't. There was a main road not far off as well, used by transport, so it's some good objectives to shoot at.
What state was Trones Wood in by the time you were there?
More or less just stumps. Some were high stumps, some were low, but it had been devastated.
Now this was, you'd be under heavy artillery and bombardment rather than 30-minute.
Yes, it was.
What was it like under a really heavy bombardment like that?
The ground shook. You could feel the tremors. And the smell, the acid, you went as dry your tongue, you could hardly move your tongue. And the smell, your eyes smarted with the explosive mixture.
What would you do yourself?
Well, all you could do was to, if you had a chance, sit with you back to the German line if you want, if it were free, and look towards your own lines, unless you're on sentry, of course, or something like that. Just sit, ease yourself up in the back of the firing step, because if you got too near, there was always a chance at the explosion. When it had exploded, it went out in the vacuum, it pulled all this out. I've seen chaps laid dead. There's not a mark on them. And it's the explosion has punctured them in here.
Their insides from the
lungs. The tremendous vacuum has done it. So people used to wonder, soldiers like I call them, people used to wonder why a chap had been killed. Well, it was that. I didn't get to know until I got talking to one at Stretcher Bearers, and they used to have lessons and talks about medical officers, and that's how they got to know.
And during this period, so you were Trones would then pull that. On these in and outs, you weren't actually involved in any attacks at this stage yet?
No, we were just holding.
It was the 9th of September when you went in, you first.
15th.
15th, sorry. Well, what's the next place you mentioned? Were you any other famous?
Ginchy.
What do you remember about that sector?
Well, it had been taken by the, I think the Ulster Division had been round there. That Redmond's Irish Division. I think it was the Ulster. And they were laid out all over the place. There'd been a big attack there. And they'd managed to get to the German line, but couldn't hold. And we took over. I went into the village itself, Ginchy, and we stopped on the edge. And these chaps, it was night time, and they kept coming in one by one. It had rained, and somehow someone must have been revived by it, and someone crawled in, and there quite a number came in. They'd been got to the German line, they couldn't hold it, and tried to get back, and of course they were shot down. I think it was in there were a lot of bodies laid out all over the place.
Was there much left of Ginchy at that time?
No, it was shattered. It was just a pile of rubble. And they were just, you could just get into it. It was on top of a hill. There's a slope to it. That's why it's so difficult to get to it, I suppose. Going up this slope with all your kit. But we stopped there about 24 hours and handed it back over to some same division, I think, and moved away somewhere else.
So you were being used a bit like a fire brigade, wherever there was a problem, you were being put in.
We seemed to be pushed in parts at line. I wouldn't say for that purpose, but just happened to allow reorganisation. You see, we could go in for 2 or 3 days and then come back, and they hadn't established any big headquarters or anything like that, a divisional artillery. We had his own artillery, you know, with us all the time.
What was an overall picture like on the Somme? What was the landscape like? This is August we're talking now. Mm. How battered was the landscape?
Devastated. Villages were down. Trees were just wasteland.
How did it compare to Ypres at that time? I know Ypres got worse later on in the war, but...
About the same. Ypres were devastated. There were very little, apart from Poperinge, and one hadn't been shelled or knocked about by German artillery. They used to practice, I think, training artillery observers from the German line, because they used to seem to send 2 or 3 shells at a certain point, an old part of a building, they'd just shell it and then that'd be it. And happening a week or two's time, that same thing had happened again. Of course, it's a wonderful observation area for him on that salient.
When was it you were actually trained as a sniper? I'm not quite clear about that.
That was at a place called Saltley, about August. And
were you taken away from your unit for that?
I was taken to a firing range and trained at 100 yards, because that was about the limit you would want to snipe at. And I did fairly well. And went into one place in August, and there'd been a place built for a sniper.
Hang on, just before we get to that, when you say they trained you as a sniper, what did that involve? What techniques did they teach you that were different from the normal techniques of shooting?
Well, you had no equipment on. You had your jacket, open the buttons if you wanted. Relax as much as possible everywhere else. You didn't smoke. They didn't want you to smoke. And they didn't want you to have a full stomach. So that you were relaxed. Every part of you was relaxed. And you had to hit the ball. Keep on hitting the ball at 100 yards with a .303 rifle. There weren't any special rifles for the job. And I found it a very easy way to shoot.
What, this relaxed technique?
Relaxed attitude, yes. Not being belts and straps and tight round here and all that. You could just relax and do all your clothing just as you felt fit, and it turned out to be very easy.
Did they teach you, you say you had the normal rifles, there was no sighting or special equipment you were taught to use then?
No, there weren't any available, I think, about that time. If so, it was, I think, the Germans were the leaders in that, and we copied them. But,
so you then went back to your unit, did you?
Yes.
How long had this training taken?
Oh, 2 days. About 2 days. I could hit the target, all right. Then what happened was, I went to one place, and they showed me exactly what a sniper's place was going to be. Now, they dug it into the parapet, where they found a place which was above the wire, and they dug through, so that from the trench you just crawled in this place, and there was a big steel plate at front of it, and just a little opening with a shutter thing, and you laid there, and you dropped a blanket behind you before you opened the little shutter, and that's where your rifle was going to be set. And you then had to lie all day looking through this little aperture. You've only a limited vision, and that was how you're going to have to snipe. Well, it was a washout. Couldn't be done. You see, to do sniping, you've got to have a field of fire movement, haven't you? Well, this one, you'd only a very short distance ahead to look at. And how many times would you get anybody in that vision there? You could stop all day. Besides, after 2 or 3 hours, you got feeling cramp in your stomach, and one thing or another, you could hardly roll over or turn it to get yourself out and stand up and walk around. So I don't think they persevered with that type of thing.
Whereabouts was this sniper's post? Can you remember?
It was in a training ground. It was a they said they had some actually in the trenches, but I never came across one.
So this was quite. I see. So this was just a practice.
It was to show you what it was going to be like, but I don't think it was successful. I never heard of it. I never came across one either.
Did they show you any other types of sniping posts in training?
No, that came later on. That came last year of the war.
So when you went back to your unit, how were you employed as a sniper?
Not employed at all. They didn't think anything to it, because we hadn't the rifle for it.
What do you mean you hadn't the rifle for
it? Well, you wanted a proper rifle with a cross on and telescopic sights, so that wherever that cross was on a person, that was where the bullet would strike.
So although you trained with a normal rifle, your unit didn't think that was worth the trouble?
They hadn't one. They didn't think it was. They thought, well, they hadn't any position you could go. The only way you could have done was to go out in a shell hole and lie out all day. How long would you have lasted? They'd have soon seen you off.
At this time, you weren't employed as a sniper at all?
No.
Not would you all. Try and fire any aimed shots from your trench, or not?
If there was anything to fire at, yes.
Would you fire often from your trench?
If there was an attack coming towards you, yes. But if not, you never fired unless there was something to fire at.